Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Mulana Salman Yunus, hope you well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everything your side, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. It is a bit cold aside. I don't know how's it in Durban, but it is cold, yeah. Although, yeah, we can't feel the cold. Once you're sitting here in the studio, you can't even hear what's happening outside. So it's like you're in a cave. But alhamdulillah, we can connect with you, Mulana. How's everything that side, the weather?
Alhamdulillah, for the past week, we had very clear skies and good weather. I'll say warm weather. And from like early this morning, from before Fajr, alhamdulillah, the weather changed, very windy, and it's very heavy rain currently. So we'll see how it goes, inshallah.
Mm. And I'm sure you get to see the ocean almost every day.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. You know, we often say that we're so used to seeing the ocean that we don't know how, if we live a place where we can't see the ocean, it can feel so strange and weird.
Mm.
I always imagine of those people, imagine in those countries where they basically landlocked. They only land around them and they've never seen the ocean.
Mm.
So these are the things sometimes we take for granted, but those living within the continents and have never seen an ocean before, imagine what they must be feeling when they see an ocean.
Mm. I remember my father, he told me just not so long ago, when they were younger, so of course traveling and that wasn't so as easy as now, so they used to actually hitchhike to Durban, and I can't even understand or fathom how would they do such a thing, because perhaps those days people were more trustworthy and they trusted others as well. But imagine hitchhiking. They used to hitchhike even to Cape Town and that. And they got to see all these things. So he said to me, either it was Durban or Cape Town. But when he reached Durban, he went to his elder brother. And his elder brother said, which is my uncle, he said, just come. You can come with us. So when he saw the ocean, his like heart practically like stopped for a few moments, because he's never seen something like this. And as you've mentioned now, some people in the world haven't seen it. So he told me that he couldn't ever imagine something. And it automatically his heart went towards Allah's greatness, Allah's Qudrat. No machine, nothing. You just see those waves coming and going, coming and going. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about in so many places of the Quran Sharif, of the ocean, such as in Surah Al-Kahf in the second last verse. Verse 109, كُلَّوْ كَانُ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. So when you read these verses and you look at the ocean and you think of Allah, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal says and mentions is an intelligent person, as in the verse, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These are major signs for the men of intelligence. So this is, and under that verse, Mufti Shafi Sahib, he writes a beautiful thing there, Rahmatullah Ali. He says that the skies is mentioned and the earth is mentioned. How come nothing, like the ocean is not mentioned in that verse? So how come? Whereas everything is supposed to be included. So he says, if you look at the words that were chosen, that Allah Azza wa Jal chose in his kalam, it is, inna fi khalq. Khalq means the originator. So the originator of the heavens means everything in the heavens, above the heavens, below the heavens, on the earth, above the earth, below the earth. That includes every creature, every single creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this here is the, it's just, it's, but I would think that you would say that, because this is what I see with my family who's moved there. First it was, you know, the ocean, this, that, but because you see something so much, familiarity creates contempt, they say in English. So you just become so, it doesn't matter to you anymore. It's just like one of those things.
Even if you look at what I say about the verse of Quran, because of the eloquence of Quran, then we as non-Arabs, we don't realize. That's why we see many times the ayats are broken down for us on common level, for us to have some sort of understanding of what Allah Ta'ala is saying. But in that very similar verse, same verse, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If now speaking to an Arab, and they know that لَامٌ لِلَّهِ, what it's for. That everything exclusively is for Allah Ta'ala. We didn't have to explain it to them. And that ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, that the day encompasses everything between the heavens and the earth. So everything is covered. But because of our lack of understanding for the Arabic language and the eloquence of the beauty of Quran, then we have to basically break it down for us to understand what is meant. But in that pure Arabic sense, everything is covered in that verse itself. That is the beauty of Quran, and Allah Ta'ala uses so few words, but the meaning covers everything as well. This is why we should connect to Quran, inshallah. And as you say, we speak of the ocean, and we take it for granted that we see it every day. And we always think, why all the Joburg people coming down for holidays, December time? Because something they want to show the children, something they want to show the kids, which we take as something not so great anymore, because we're seeing it every day. And likewise with Quran, we, alhamdulillah, it's so common in our country, and so many texts and the books are available in hard copies, even the, you'll say, the PDFs, the apps. But how much have we really treasured regarding the language behind it, the meaning behind it, that I don't know whether we'll ever be able to reach that level.
Someone sent me a beautiful thing. There's this Mufti Abdullah Mullah, Hafidhahullah. So he sent me this. I saw it on his status. I said, please send it to me. It's this big, huge library, and it looks so beautiful with all the tafsir that you can think of. I wouldn't say all. I would just say even maybe that's just the tip in the ocean. But Mulana, I'll send it to you. You can see how many different types of tafsir and how many different types there is. And then they zoom in. There's no faces in it. So it's, they zoom into the small Quran Sharif. And they said, all this which you're seeing is just the tafsir explanation commentary for this beautiful Quran Sharif. And so many is not included there also. So it never ends, the beauty of the Quran Sharif. Mulana, I don't want to take up more of your time. I know we're going to speak on Hajj. So today, what we're speaking about, where are we heading to?
No problem, alhamdulillah. But today, I thought we still got about maybe 2 more weeks, inshallah, till the actual days of Qurbani, and maybe 2 more slots we have till the days of Hajj actually start, or we'll actually be starting it when the days of Hajj already start in the final week. But something linked to the Ibrahim alayhi salam also, because we know this time of the year is synonymous with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And there's, you know, when you look at the lives of Anbiya alayhi salam, growing up especially, you know, we attend programs and we heard in the maktabs, and naturally, aside from obviously the seerah, the beautiful seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the most beautiful and the most attractive, there is always another, maybe a sahabi or another anbiya, whom a person generally inclines towards, and a person is amazed by their story. And this is a sign from Allah Ta'ala also, that this is a means of us getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, because all is linked, all has been summarized, all has been concluded with the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of those Nabis who is part of the Ulul Azm, who is part of the great Anbiya alayhi salam. And like how we have Musa alayhi salam, many children are very familiar with the story of Musa alayhi salam, because very often we hear the story of Musa alayhi salam. And likewise Ibrahim alayhi salam also. But at times what happens is we see that during these days, certain aspects, more so the Hajj aspect and the Qurbani aspect, the Udhiya aspect of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that is majority concentrated and focused upon. And the rest of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, very little is known about it. It might be known by title-wise, but the details regarding the other incidents is not really brought to the front and explained to the general public once again. Because last time maybe a person has done it was through the maktab, he learned the incidents. And that too, it was given in very brief, because of the understanding of a child, just for them to know what has happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is, I think, good during these days with our family, get the kitab, sit down and read of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and see why we are part of the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how the one one golden rule, one golden lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salam is submission. Submission to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Especially now with the Abrahamic Accord and everything that is happening. Sometimes we don't realize what a great Nabi this is. Whilst we are against the Abrahamic Accord and what they want to put forward. But sometimes also it has a contrary effect that a person that doesn't know much about Ibrahim alayhi salam, it starts to have negative thoughts of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It starts to think in a wrong manner. So for us to put it in the correct manner, example with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the Shias are only speaking against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, then if we do not bring the correct knowledge forward and educate the masses on the correct belief and the correct lives of these great Sahaba radiallahu anhu, then they will always grow up thinking them to be something not correct. It's our duty, I would feel, that we give the correct narrative, we give the correct story, and for us to understand it in full. And now with everything that is happening, we know the Iman is a jeopardy, the Yaqeen has become so weak. So for us to understand these lessons from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, from the Anbiya alayhi salam, I think it's imperative. The literature is available, there is so many, so there is basically no excuse whatsoever for this. But nevertheless, that there, inshaAllah, Allah Ta'ala permits, we'll discuss more in detail every aspect of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But for today, I thought, just as we were mentioning at the beginning regarding the ocean and taking for granted sometimes the ni'mat in front of us, and ni'mat is a fuqilat urifat, the Arabic saying, that when a ni'mat is lost, then it's only recognized. We find that when we see new Muslims accepting Islam and coming into Islam, then they cherish Islam far more greater than majority, or we'll say most, or some of the Muslims who are born Muslims. Because they have seen the light of Iman, the light of Islam, which was not there. Their life was full of darkness, full of disbelief, full of no guidance in their life or how to live, how to go on everyday life. So now when they're seeing a religion of Islam, and they're entering into this religion, that is full of guidance, that is a way of life, that from the time you wake up to the time you sleep at night, everything has been mapped out for you. From the time the child is born till he passes away, his entire life is shown to him how to live. So they find this beauty of having everything guided. And that is one of the attracting features of Islam, that there's no need for us to use our own brains or to break it down or to sit and contemplate. But rather, through the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Akabirin, how they have showed us this beautiful deen of Islam. Many, many non-Muslims, when they accept Islam, we see them following Islam far more better than those born Muslims. They go into the full hijab, full niqab, everything. Full kurta, full sunnah, full beard. And you look at them and you think, how long were you Muslim? And they say, no, only 1 month, 2 months. And they say, you're already so far into the religion. And the answer is not so far into the religion. Is that I've accepted, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kafa. The command is, come completely into Islam. So I've chose Islam now, and I have chosen to come fully into Islam. And you see, this was the quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Allah Ta'ala told him, submit. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I submit to the Lord of all the worlds. I submit to the Rabb of everything. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala gave him that glad tidings of فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, that you have passed to flying colors. You have passed with flying colors all the tests that came. But how was he going to pass those tests if you never submit? By submitting, then everything else becomes easy. We find that one is submission and one is happiness. So often we read the dua and we learn of it, that to recite it every morning, every evening, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهُ وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَمُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّى النَّبِيَ وَرَسُولَهُ. But ask ourselves, are we really happy with Islam? Do we value Islam? We submit and we are happy. Ibrahim alayhi salam submitted to all the commands, all the tests of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what brought him to become an imam. That he was brought him to become a leader for everyone, to become the father of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, via these tests, Allah Ta'ala granted him perfection. And we see in a person's life, in order to reach the next stage, we have to pass the test. If we are not given a test, there is no way of progressing. There is no way of saying you have reached the next level. So this test from Allah Ta'ala is for us to get closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala every step of the way. And we have to learn the submission. We have to submit. Islam, another one is, we say complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. That we don't follow our whim, our desires, the world, but rather the commands of Allah, that comes first. Give a simple example between what is submission and what is happiness and how both is needed. A person is working, and one is, he is not happy in the place he is working, but he says, I have to work because I need that money at the end of the month. So even though he's not happy with the rules, he's not happy with the boss, he's not happy with the environment, but he puts up with everything. So he'll get his salary at the end of the month. End of the day, he's getting what he wants. But he is not enjoying it. He's not seeing any happiness. He is not finding that excitement and joy of going to work every day. Like how we'll say, a person, student, they don't like to go to school. They don't want to, but they're not finding enjoyment. On the contrary, you find when you go into the Darul Ulums, then the students, you'll see when holiday is coming to an end, they'll say, I'm waiting to go back. I want to go and learn. That is provided you are going with the correct intention or the correct mindset. You know what you are doing. It's like holiday doesn't even matter. Why? Because you are enjoying it every step of the way. And on the other hand, you have the second worker who says, you know, I have to submit, and I'm going to submit to this work because I have to do everything for my salary. At the same time, let me have that mindset of enjoyment. Let me be happy with what I am doing. Whatever rules are in place, and let me be happy with it because it's for my work, it's for my betterment. You'll see this person, while he is submitting and getting what he wants at the end of the month, at the same time, he's enjoying himself. He's not finding the difficulty the former person was feeling. Very similarly in Islam, you see many a times a person submits and he is following the commands of Allah Ta'ala. But unfortunately, he's not doing it with a happy heart. Maybe he's being forced to. Maybe he feels my parents are forcing me. Maybe he feels this has been always the way of my community. In such, a person will not find the true success. He will not find the total happiness where he reaches that level and passes every year. He'll just be getting that pass mark. We have to learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam that submit to Allah, all the commands of Allah Ta'ala, with a happy heart. We say raditu billahi rabba, that we are happy with Islam, we are happy with Allah Ta'ala. And in the verse of Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah is happy with Islam as our religion. Allah is happy with Islam as our religion, as our way of life. And we have to become happy with it. Why? Because we acknowledge Allah Ta'ala is our creator. We acknowledge Allah Ta'ala is the only one that does. So, if He is happy with something for us, then I too must become happy with it. Because He knows what is best for us. So total submission to Allah Ta'ala with a happy heart. But if we look at our lives today, our actions speak louder than what our tongues are saying. That, are we really happy? If you are happy, then you will fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. You will not worry about what the community is saying, what the global market is saying, what my family is saying, what the peer pressure is coming. But rather you will say, this is what my Islam is saying. This is how I should be doing it. If you look at our weddings, if you look at our functions, is it in conformity to Sharia? Is it what Islam is telling me to say, do or not? Simple example that is, if we just have to gauge at that, we've got maybe our sister, daughter getting married, and where we have the influence and the power to influence the decision on how it should be carried out. Do we say, no, just let it go, it's a once in a lifetime thing? Or do we say, you know what, this is how Islam is saying it, and this is what we will do. Will we submit as well? As Ibrahim alayhi salam, as the command came, he never think. He submitted totally to Allah Ta'ala's command. Our dressing, when we choose how to dress every morning when we wake up, do we look at the pants if it's below the ankles? Do we see our beard if it is growing or we're going to shave it? When we are leaving, when we are going out of necessity, do we put on that scarf? Do we put on that hijab? Do we put on that burqa, that abaya that is not attractive? Do we make sure we're not putting on perfume? What is severe warning in the hadith that a woman that puts on perfume and leaves the house, 500 years away from the fragrance of Jannah that the woman will be. Do we have all these things in mind that Islam is telling us this is how we should be dressing, this is how our conduct should be? And we see Ibrahim alayhi salam, when it came to his families, then his family turned on him, his community turned on him. He ended up leaving. He had to leave. Why? Because he understood that Islam has to be fulfilled. No matter who might be doing it or not doing it, but I have to fulfill Islam from my side. And I'll have to go to a conducive, find a conducive environment where Islam can be followed in totality. When you find our children, you see many a times in the maktabs, in the hifz class, they're coming with two-length hair, boys are getting bald, getting bigger, they're trimming their beards. Boys are coming with the incorrect attire, they're coming with the same haram school uniform, with those shorts on, every school they are going to. And then we think to ourselves, that we ask this child, why you cut your hair like this? And they say, my father cut it, or my mother told me, we got a wedding coming up, we got the holidays coming up, or they just cut my hair, Murana, I don't know what to say. So are we teaching our children to submit or not submit to the commands of Allah Ta'ala? What are we inculcating in them? That child is growing up innocent. Whatever you inculcate in them, that is how they will live their life. Where that child ever thinks, I look handsome with two lengths hair, or I will look better in these type of clothing? And what's worse, as we said, we as parents, we are putting that behavior in the child. We are creating that importance of the fashion brands, of those name brands, that you have to wear, dress in a certain way, certain dress code, we are going here, look smart. That all comes boiled down to submitting to Allah with a happy heart. That do I feel happy? Do I feel honor in dressing in the sunnah? My child in front of me, that when I see him in that kurta, when I see him with that one length hair, when I see him with that amama, with the topi on his head, with his pants above his ankles, do I feel happy and say, you are the most handsome person in the world? Why you are the most handsome? Remind him. Because you look like the best person that ever came on the surface of the earth. If we teach our children this year, we inculcate this, then they won't be looking at football players, cricket players, actors, and that day, and seeing how they dress, how they look. Because in the social media, these are the people given importance. These are the people that are being given the importance that this is how you look. If you look like this, then you are a leader. See how the whole world is following them. But we follow the leader of the whole world, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who led the heart, who led the masses out of Jahiliyyah into the life of Islam. We follow the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he went against the customs of the norms of idol worship, of worshipping the stars, of all the filth that was happening. And he came out with this message of submission to Allah Ta'ala. We have to inculcate this in the children. Because growing up, what society are we going to have? Especially our girls that we find. Imagine, they are the lap of the mother. And if you just look at a simple example of Ibrahim alayhi salam's story, Ismail alayhi salam grew up with Hajar radiallahu anha, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was not there all the time. He used to come and visit, come and go, come and go. But the tarbiyah of Ismail alayhi salam got made by the mother, got made by Hajar radiallahu anha. That good habits, the good qualities was inculcated from her side into the son. Obviously, she was the wife of a Nabi and he made her tarbiyah first. And after that day, she made the tarbiyah of the children. And now it came that the people saw the qualities of Ismail alayhi salam. Let us get our daughters from our tribe, from the Jurhum tribe, married to him because of what good qualities. Where it came from? From the mother. The mother was the lap of tarbiyah, the lap of deeni knowledge. If we are growing up the girls of the future, we are seeing them parading around in incorrect attire, in shameful attire. It always boggles me that how can a father think of buying such clothing for their daughter, being a man, and allowing them to go out of the house dressed like that day, knowing very well, I am a man, I know how men think, and allowing them to go. It's always something that I think to myself is unreal. A person has to be not sane in their brains to think of, to see, and to allow such things. So the tarbiyah of our children, are we teaching them to submit to the command of Allah Ta'ala? When it comes to their birthdays even, are we throwing them birthday parties and teaching them a way that is totally alienated, totally contrary to what Islam is telling us? Or do we show them that this every day of our life is valuable? Not only this birthday, what the world is telling you, we are moving one day closer to our qabr. So the enjoyment that we seek, do we seek it in Islam? And that's the only true enjoyment. The only true enjoyment can come when you totally submit to Allah. Because if my Allah is happy, then I am happy. How can a child ever be happy knowing that his father is unhappy with him? Knowing that his mother is unhappy with him? How can he sleep at night knowing I broke the heart of my father, I broke the heart of my mother? And he has a happy sleeping. That's not possible. So we at the same time being the servants of Allah Ta'ala, how can we ever feel that we are happy when we are breaking all the commands of Allah Ta'ala, that is earning the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala? And unfortunately today we find that we want sanctions. We want everything to be sanctioned by Islam. But that does not work. Islam will never change for us. We have to change for Islam. Remember, hidayat is not compulsory for us. We can't give hidayat to anyone. Our duty is to give the message. Whether that person accepts or doesn't accept, that is in the command of Allah Ta'ala. But we do not water down the deen. We do not bring down the deen to say, see, people are coming into Islam. What Islam is that? It's a watered down version. And that is another reason why we find so many foreign scholars, foreign people coming to the country to come and give lectures. Now I see recently another post came out of someone else coming. Why are these people being brought? Because the masses want someone just to sanction what they are doing as part of Islam. Where in reality, it is not part of Islam. This is where we have to stick to the true scholars. They're showing us true submission to Allah, true obedience to Allah. And via this, we get the love of Allah and the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what we all want in our life. This is what we want, to live a life in the obedience of Allah, in the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. And this can only come, as we've seen in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we see in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via submitting totally to the command of Allah Ta'ala, putting full trust in Allah Ta'ala, and remembering that my happiness can only lie in the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. And Alim says very beautifully, that before you do anything, think to yourself, am I making Allah happy or am I making Shaitan happy? And think who you want to make happy. And that comes via getting the knowledge of Islam, the pure knowledge of Islam, without it being altered, without it being anything else, but rather totally submitting and not picking and choosing any parts of Islam. When you are cooking that meal, if you say, okay, never mind, I'll just leave out this ingredient or that ingredient, you have a whole different food that comes out, whole different taste, whole different flavor. And you say, this doesn't taste like chicken curry, this tastes like something else. Why? Because you left out a few ingredients which you thought, nah, it's not so important, so small it is. But if we feel, no, in Islam, I leave out this, I leave out that, I'm still a Muslim. You'll end up a totally different religion. You'll end up a totally different person. And nothing even resembles you in Islam. May Allah Ta'ala save us from that day. May Allah Ta'ala save our progeny. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the true love of the deen of Islam, total submission to Allah Ta'ala in these days that are coming. Let us think of how Ibrahim alayhi salam submitted with a happy heart to Allah. And let us be happy, because my Allah is my creator. He has given me this command. How happy sometimes a student feels that I did this for my ustad. I fulfilled this duty for my ustad. And he feels happy in his heart. Imagine for my Allah, I fulfilled this for my Allah. I fulfilled this for my Allah. How happy that heart will become, knowing I submitted totally and my Allah is happy with me. If my Allah is happy, then it doesn't matter who else is not happy with me. But the only happiness that is required is the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Jazakallah Mawlana.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana, for this beautiful advice, especially the last few parts we really enjoyed. Jazakumullah khairan. Make dua for us as well. We'll meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.